Welcome to the Ignite Podcast, where you'll discover the secrets to ignite the growth of your agency.
At what point do we go, right, well, that is new and interesting and exciting?
Whereas it used to be, if we got a £2 million instruction, we'd be over the moon.
You would have phoned me.
Oh, I'd be, yeah.
Wouldn't you, straight away?
Yeah, I would.
Whereas I'd be asking you 3 weeks later now and go, did you get that one? You go, yeah.
Yeah. Which is, on one hand, a shame, isn't it? That disappears. So what would have to happen in the agency for you to go home and be excited?
If you are feeling frustrated with the lack of growth in your agency and you're impatient to reach those ever-moving goalposts,
then here's your invitation to spend a day with us at AJHQ for a no-holds-barred peek behind the scenes of our agency, Ashdown Jones.
All you need to do is go to ajmastermind.co.uk/BTS day.
Best of all, it's free.
Here are your hosts, Sam and Phil.
Welcome back to this, the second part of a special two-parter, where we're talking about Aaron Ross's book, which is From the Impossible to the Inevitable, where he sets out a six-step framework. And in part one, if you haven't listened to it, we talked about nailing the niche, creating a predictable pipeline, and making sales scalable. And then in this episode, we're going to be talking about number four, five, and six.
Yeah, so I'd go back and listen to number one, two, and three if you have just landed on this one.
Yeah, I think it's important that you hear the whole framework. And number four is double your deal size. Number five, do the time. And number six, embracing employee ownership.
Don't give the secrets away.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I want them to...
See, if this was a book, as you'll hear me explain later on, I probably wouldn't go any further.
So number four is about doubling your deal size. This is a sweet spot for us, I think, because it's something we bang out on about a lot. And it goes hand in hand with number one, niche. Because if you niche successfully, or when you niche successfully, you can double your deal size, because instead of scrapping around for £2,000-£3,000 fees, you now have got a £15,000-£20,000 fee. We were just talking to George earlier, who has just exchanged on a £64,000 fee. That's nice.
That is nice. Yeah, they make a massive difference.
Huge.
I mean, our team, because they're, none of them are from the industry, would, I'll be careful of my words, would frown upon anything less than £5,000 fee.
They would probably say the word only. It's only a £4,000 fee.
Yeah.
Because they are conditioned to think that a normal fee is our average and above, which is £15,000 and above.
Yeah.
So they, because like you say, because they're not in industry, then to them, that's just normal.
They would, I'm thinking of Edward here, strongly question a fee that was less than 1.5%.
What, in percentage terms?
Yes.
Well, they wouldn't even...
So what I'm thinking...
They wouldn't understand, would they?
No, so there's... three houses in the Dales that owned by a family friend of ours who is a builder, and we agreed very early on in the company that he gets 1%. So when invoice came through, there was two people that messaged me saying, is this right?
Yeah.
And even I had to go back to the contract that we'd sent and check it. Yeah.
But I think you could still have 1.5% or even 2% of a £100,000 house. So ultimately it comes down to, one of the levers that you have to be able to move is the lever of the house value.
Yeah.
And that only comes with niching, I believe.
It does. So for people listening to the podcast, and let's say the average house price is 150 and they charge maybe £2,000 to do it. Mm-hmm. For what are they looking for here? Are they looking to put the prices up now, or are they looking to change marketplace?
I think they've got to just change marketplace. You've got to go after a different kind of seller.
Because changing marketplace is probably a new business, a new brand, it's a total switch, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I don't think you can just try and stretch what you're already doing.
No, I totally
agree.
If you
sell the shop of the chippy and you called, I don't know, wesellanyhouse.com.
Yeah.
Does that even exist? I've made that
probably.
Up. Then in that case, you probably do have to rebrand. If you've called yourself your name and you're working from your back bedroom and you're just grateful for every £2,000 that you get offered, then actually it's a really good time now to reposition yourself.
Yes.
Get yourself a nice logo off, even just off Fiverr or something. Don't worry too much about your website and stuff. Just get yourself out there with the right letters and the right approach. And as soon as you get that beautiful home with a sold sign outside, everything becomes easier for you.
Mm. Yeah, the reason why we talk about high value homes is because that's what we have done. If you're very happy in your £100,000 houses, then at least put your price up. At least differentiate.
It's just,
in
it's
that
so
way.
Much like hard work.
Yeah, and you're in a marketplace where people are solely choosing on price.
Mm-hmm. Almost always.
And Pebblebrook's do it for free now. Although, bit of a... Have you seen their free offer? So, all their campaign is that they sell for free. If you want a right move, though, it's £350. If you want...
How are you going to sell it, then?
Well, it might be even be £650. If you want professional photography, it's another few hundred. If you want... You know, it's... So it all adds up to probably.
We
more
should do that.
Than
we should say, right, well, we're free unless you want it on our website and Rightmove.
Unless you want us to sell it, then 1.5 cent. We're free until you get an offer.
Number five is about doing the time. What do you think that means?
Well, I know what it means. You just told me. Otherwise, I wouldn't
have
had a clue.
What does it mean to you? I mean,
what it means to me. Well, it's a constant. I need constantly reminding about this. So I'm sure I've said before, I'm a huge Gary Vaynerchuk fan. Whenever I feel like I'm going off track, if I listen to Gary Vaynerchuk, then I feel like it gives me inspiration back. And although I think he might have got NFTs wrong.
No.
They died a bit, haven't they?
Oh.
Yeah, so see what he says about that. So, and he always talks about as entrepreneurs or as business owners, or I think as people actually, and it's relevant at the beginning of a year for New Year's resolutions, we massively overestimate what we can do in a year, but hugely underestimate what we can do in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to fall foul of this. We have done for every single year when setting targets. And my feeling is that this is the first year where we've actually looked at targets and gone, what's a slight push but actually is achievable, and set those figures.
Yeah, because last year I think we ended up with 47 different projects.
Yeah.
Which we're just spinning plates.
Which doesn't do anybody any favours, actually. You might look at the start of the year and think, well, this is going to be a really good year, but stuff happens and it takes you off course whether you like it or not. So I'd rather have less projects that are more achievable and then have time at the end to go, right, what we've got left, what else can we pick up? But appreciating that if you're going to make a U-turn in your business and go off to a niche, or if you're going to put the prices up, or if you want 5 offices, that takes time. Look around the industry. How many successful agents do you see and know that are where you want to be? And I will be very surprised if there's anybody that has done what you want to do in a time frame that you expect for you to do it in. Look at the big boys, Savills, Knight Frank. How long have they been around?
About 250 years.
And then we expect to challenge them within a year, 6 months.
It's funny though, we're recording this when, and I know very little about this, so don't test me. Haven't we got a 16-year-old darts player at the moment that is taking the world by storm?
Very much so.
Called Luke.
Luke Littler.
Mm. Littler?
Littler. Little Have you seen him though?
He doesn't look 16.
No. There's no way he looks younger than me.
No, he doesn't.
I'd argue he looks younger than you. Very good though.
So he's 16.
He is.
He can't have actually started until he was... It must have only taken 10 years to get to where he's got to. Does it actually say...
Oh, less than that.
Hi, I'm Lottie from Pelham James Uni Combs. I love most about being in the AJ Mastermind group, working along similar people, business owners. I work with my husband as well, David, and although we see other agents perhaps copying that business model and trying to do it, but what we do is authentic to us now. It's part of our muscle memory and we're learning and developing, and I absolutely love it. If you are thinking about it and pondering about joining the group, perhaps reach out and speak to one of us.
So overnight success is something that we seem to celebrate, and I think that makes us think that it's possible. It's like, yeah, these adverts on Instagram that, you know, I went from fat to ripped in 3 days, you know, eating anything I wanted.
Yeah.
It's that kind of instant gratification society that...
Which sells.
God, nobody wants to know, well, it's going to take you 5 years to open a second branch.
Yeah.
Who's going to buy that? It's like when we first started the Mastermind and we said, well, we need to make sure that we teach them about mindset, you know, and we talk about who's going to buy mindset?
Yeah.
People don't want to pay for that.
No.
So it's the same thing really, isn't it? People don't want to have to do the work. They just want to know. The amount of people that write to us and say, just give us your letters.
Mm.
As if that's the panacea.
Yeah.
But it's part of the bigger picture. It's like us saying, well, if you want to be ripped, you've got to drink more water. But that's not the only thing you have to do. You have to do lots of things. Mm. And drinking water is one of them.
Yeah. Accepting that, depending on your goals, but if you've got entrepreneurial type goals, it's probably a minimum of a 3-year period to get close to it. And actually within that 3 years, accept that those goals will totally change.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I have said recently, why are we still scrapping about in our cash flow forecast and not feeling like we are where we wanted to be at this time in our career. And we have to remind ourselves of all the things we have done and all the things we have built up and the successes we have had and are continuing to have, because your goalposts just move all the time.
They do. Yeah. Well, as you said on number four, was it? Your challenges just change.
Yeah, they do.
Well, it doesn't get easier.
It's the growth one, isn't it?
Yeah. That
growth problems are still problems. They're just better problems.
Yeah, I'd argue the better problems, I said. And founder of Greggs said to me about 6 months ago, the first bit of your business is the best bit, is the most fun. It's great financially from there, but the fun levels drop consistently.
Well, if you look at Phil Knight, we were talking about his book, weren't we, Shoe Dog?
Yeah.
And the reason I think you enjoyed reading his book or listening to him was because he talks about that kind of fun entrepreneurial thing where they didn't have enough money for heating and they were sleeping on the floor of their office and didn't have any food, you know, any money for food. So everything was an adventure. But now, if he was to walk through one of his, well, he probably hasn't been in all the buildings that they own across the world. Mm. But if he walks into one of those, is he actually going to feel excitement?
Yeah. Yeah, even for us. So what would have to happen in a day in the estate agency for us to walk, leave the office excited?
Yeah, because I'm thinking the same thing. Because if you said, well, a £5 million instruction would be amazing. Okay, we've had one of those. You know, a £5 million sale would be amazing. We've had one of those. What has to happen? What new exciting things? And does it have to be new and exciting? What about if somebody that we think a lot of phones us and says, oh, I see your boards everywhere. It's fantastic. We've had that.
Yeah.
Many, many times. So at what point do we go, right, well, that is new and interesting and exciting.
Whereas it used to be, if we got an instruction, a £2 million instruction, we'd be over the moon.
You would have phoned me.
Oh, I'd be, yeah.
Wouldn't you, straight away?
Yeah, I would.
Whereas I'd be asking you 3 weeks later now and go, did you get that one? You go, yeah.
Yeah. Which is, on one hand, a shame, isn't it? That disappears. So answer the question, what would have to happen in the agency for you to go home and be excited?
I think it's probably more likely to be a successful event now, because it feels like it's... So for example, we're doing a team vision day in a couple of weeks' time. So if we go home and we've really enjoyed everybody's company and they've enjoyed it and we all go home feeling nice and warm and fuzzy around the edges, that's probably the kind of thing I'd go home and go, oh, we did this today. Whereas an instruction or a new member for Mastermind would be good.
Yeah, it was purposely why I said agency.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. We had a new Mastermind member join a private Mastermind a couple of months ago. And if you listen to this, you know who you are. And it was, and he also came in the lake with us, do you remember, the day after. That was really lovely. I really felt proud of what we'd achieved, proud of him, and really enjoyed his company and enjoyed him joining.
Yeah. What I like about Mastermind with things like that is when you can't really read someone and you're unsure, and then all of a sudden they go, I want to join private. And we have a conversation where we're like, are we sure? And then they totally surprise us. You can see how they have surprised themselves.
Yes, that's the bit I was going to say. If they've surprised themselves and they've risen to a challenge, that's what I get a kick out of.
Yeah.
But it's actually the same in agency, really, if you think about it, although I don't get directly involved. If I know somebody's finally managed to move on, so we've got that lovely lady, I'll just say her first name, Kerry, who's been trying to sell a house with us for a while. And I find her a really interesting person. We've had lots of chats with her and about her. And so when she finally got a buyer, I was really, really happy for her.
Mm.
So that felt like a good win for the day. But that's regardless of how much her house is worth.
I think, going back to Mastermind, I'll get more of a buzz for a new member getting an amazing instruction sale than if we did.
Yeah.
I think in Ashdown Jones, we'd have to do maybe over 50 grand worth of sales in the pipeline in a day for me to go home and tell Molly. I probably wouldn't even tell her that.
A new office lease is interesting and exciting.
No. I don't even think she knows she's got a third office, which is bad, really, isn't it? I should tell her.
And we're looking for an acquisition. That would be exciting. So maybe all we're doing is looking for bigger and bigger dopamine hits, bigger and bigger deals.
Yeah, but that's a shame in some ways.
Because we're not appreciating the little ones.
You just come numb to it, don't you?
Well, I suppose, ask yourself this. What does Noah have to do for you to be excited about his achievements in something?
Play football.
Whereas he used to be able to just walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or spinning, say, Dada.
I was spinning Caspian around last night and then I'd be like, whoa, pretending to be dizzy. And then he'd copy me like, whoa. So that worked.
Right, imagine if Noah did that now. That wouldn't be very exciting for
you. No, it wouldn't at all. I'd be wondering what I was paying the Windermere fees for.
It's funny. Okay, so we're talking about doing the time. The last one, your favourite subject, Phil. Embrace employee ownership. And what he says about this in the book is that if you regard your employees as renting their jobs, you're doing yourself and them a disservice. So how can you say, and we actually had this conversation with one of our lovely team members yesterday who was in a what we call a PAD review. So what's PAD stand for?
Performance and development.
Thank you. I couldn't remember the and. Performance and development session, which is hilarious since I invented it. And in his session, I said to him, look, if there's an aspect of your job you're not enjoying, it's more important to us that we work with the person than on the role. So if the person is right for the company, we will do everything we can to keep that person for the right reasons and help them find a better role for them or adjust their role or even help them to move on with our love and support to do so and understanding. And I think that's what he means by employee ownership, is about owning the relationship and being responsible for it so that you're not just going, right, well, that person's in that role. Oh, right, they're out, a new person in that role. You're actually taking a longer term view of that person's health and well-being as well.
Yeah, this has been on my mind recently for a few reasons. And then yesterday when I was talking to this guy again, just come back to him, he said when he buys a business, I said, do you plug in a system like this? And he said, no, not really. There must be something you do. He said, I set a vision, clear vision, and I make sure the whole team is motivated to hit those targets. If they hit those targets, we all do well. So I need them to trust me that if we hit this target, which is a push for them, you will all be successful financially. If we don't, we all suffer together. And that gives them responsibility and gives them ownership of the business almost, of the project. And I don't think, speaking for me, that I've done that well enough at all. I give all my frustration to not hitting targets, but then there's no motivation to hit target. And
there's no cheerleading and
no
praise when they do.
No, and so I've definitely dropped the ball on that. And clarity on why we need to hit this target, what it means for them. And so that's something I need to do a lot better.
If employees are renting their jobs, they can go and rent somebody else's job. They can move and they've got no loyalty to us. Something we value very highly is loyalty from our team members. But what loyalty are we giving them back? Because a paycheck isn't loyalty. It's about our time and our energy and our mental focus needs to be on them and that relationship too.
Quick question. Would you like the chance to come and see behind the scenes of our agency, Ashdown Jones, here in the beautiful Lake District? To have a look at all our systems and processes and meet the team and go away with ideas, motivated and fired up to put your plans into action? Well, great news. If you just go to ajmastermind.co.uk/BTS day, which stands for behind the scenes, you'll see exactly how to book on to our next behind the scenes day here at Ashdown Jones. And best of all, it's free.
I've mentioned this on a previous podcast. The one thing that drills it home to me is that there can be a football team, and I use League Two or League Two football teams because my team used to be in League Two for
what
this story. League One. We're third bottom, but we're in League One.
I didn't know that.
You did.
Well done, Carlisle. I didn't.
Yes, you did. You messaged me congratulations when we went up in the summer.
That's because...
So you did know.
Chris told me that you'd gone up. I didn't know what you'd gone up from and to.
Yeah, League One isn't the top, to be clear.
What's the top?
The Premier League.
And then what's after that?
Championship.
Oh, so it's third.
Yeah.
Third down on the ladder.
Yeah, it used to be called Division 3. Division 2 it used to be called. Division 2. I'm sure it's Division 3 at some point. So 18 months ago, we were bottom of the whole football league, League 2. We'd just been beaten 4-0 at home to Swindon Town, and an ex-player had scored and given the fans a lot of abuse. And if we'd gone down... We were in £3 million worth of debt to Edinburgh Woolen Mill with massive interest on the bill. The club would have probably gone under. We had a new manager. It was out of the transfer window. So we had a new manager, won six on the trot. Same players. How'd you go from being the worst team in the Football League to winning six on the trot?
Who was the manager?
Paul Simpson is still there.
And what did he bring?
Well, exactly. What does he bring?
Is he actually a football manager?
Yeah. He's
so he's not coming from a completely different industry.
No. He has had loose successes elsewhere and failures elsewhere. But he's been his second time at Carlisle, and he's always been Carlisle's most successful manager. But what what message does he bring? So let's just say it's motivation. There might be tactics, but really, at that level, it's probably motivation.
It's got to be getting in the headspace of the players, yeah, it's rather confidence than and motivation, just what they do with the feet.
So that's the difference is massive that he can make on a group of players. He probably switched up the lineup, and I can't actually remember what he did. But so that's how important it is. In away from sports, we don't think it's as important because the results aren't. It's not as obvious day to day, are they? Mm-hmm. If we were competing against another agent today in something, I would act in a motivational way to get them to go and beat them. Mm-hmm. But because it's not as obvious as that, we don't do it.
Yeah, agreed. So there's a lot that we can do as leaders,
yeah,
to be able to change the final outcome, even if we don't ever see a client again as long as we live.
Yeah, you know, as little as making sure that, so Tori today is out on viewings all day, and I don't know how she feels, but by the last viewing the day, she might feel like she can't really be bothered, or she's tired, or, which don't blame her, she had a long day. So what can we do to make sure that in that last viewing of the day, she's really motivated to get something from it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the...
Is that like bringing a player on in the last 5 minutes?
It might be like that, yeah. A goalkeeper, Carl, famous for that. Yeah. Our goalkeeper kept us up in the Football League in the 96th minute. Probably 2001, 2002, something like that. Cool story. And now he's a taxi driver.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
Maybe he should be a football manager.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so it's just thinking about those little things. And so that's why we're going to be much clearer on targets this year and celebrate targets as a team. There will be rewards for every target hit across the company.
I'm very glad to hear it.
Just a caveat to that. That doesn't include the weekly target of sending letters.
No, it doesn't.
It's the financial target,
no matter what,
at the end of a quarter.
So we've been talking about Aaron Ross's book, From the Impossible to the Inevitable, which I think is a really interesting book. I like so much about it. But even this very simple six-step framework has opened up a lot of discussion with us and made us think. So I would urge you to go and read the book. And I would urge you, Phil, to go and listen to the book. I'm still listening and reading it. If I really like a book, I don't know about you, but not only do I have it on Audible, I also have it on Kindle and the physical book as well. You just listen to it on Audible.
Yes.
Are you not worried that you might miss something?
No. I'll go back if I've missed something.
I've got too many books to go back to. We've got like 300 books on Audible now, but I probably will listen to it again.
But if the book's like 11 hours long, I'm not a fan before I even start. If it's 4 hours, you've just about got me.
Well, actually, you don't need to listen to it now because I've just given you the pricing.
I think there is actually a website that does this, isn't there?
Yeah.
Because most books, which is my frustration, that even some books with the title, you don't really have to read it. Once you understand that.
Procrastinate on purpose.
No, I'm thinking about the selective estate agent. But yeah, there are, the one thing is a great example, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't need to read it anymore. Just have one thing. Focus on one thing.
But I think knowing what to do and understanding how to do it and the context and the why and everything, that's two different things. So I would say
I agree.
People do need more context and more understanding.
I do agree, but usually they explain that in the first chapter.
Look, everybody knows how to get fitter, but just because they know how to do it doesn't mean so they're going to go and do it. So in order to find their motivation and understand the reasons why they're doing what they're supposed to do, you know, follow a particular program, whatever, they do need to read or listen or understand.
All the books do is they tell you in the first chapter what it's about, and then they spend the next 10 chapters telling you in a different way, don't they?
You're not a reader, are you?
I just get to it. It's why my audiobook's 42 minutes long.
Okay, let's just quickly go through them again. Number one, nail the niche. Number two, create a predictable pipeline. Number three, making sales scalable. Number four, double your deal size. Number five, do the time. And number six, embrace employee ownership. And that's it.
Yes, the learning from this is I would encourage you to write these six down and think about how your business fits into them. And maybe even have one action just to make a step forward in each one, especially one and especially two.
Nailing the niche and creating predictable pipelines.
Yeah, I think that they're the places to start.
Well, if you don't get past there, you can't get to all the rest
no.
of them. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you or we'll talk to you on the next episode.
If you are feeling frustrated with the lack of growth in your agency and you're impatient to reach those ever-moving goalposts,
then here's your invitation to spend a day with us at Ashdown Jones HQ for a no-holds-barred peek behind the scenes of our agency.
All you need to do is go to ajmastermind.co.uk /BTSday.
And best of all, it's free.